Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Sound.
Check this beautiful story, and you can see that clearly it talks about verse 3. He focuses on
parable, one man of you having 100 sheep. And three parables back to back. When Jesus saw the Pharisees complain about the season coming close to him, Jesus had three parables back to back. The first one about a shepherd. And he said, what man? Hey, guys, which man among you, when you have 100 sheep, you will, and one goes astray, you will leave the 99 to go for the one? Is anyone? None. Who would want to reach the 99 to look for the one? But I would. So, throughout all the parables, we miss it. We talk about the lost coin, the lost sheep, the lost son. It's not about the lost, the story is not about the lost, but the joy of the finder. God is showing us what he enjoys, what God's joy is. All right? God has joy. Pharisees has memory. What gives God joy?
The Savior found a lost sheep. The shepherd put the sheep on his shoulder, a place of strength. He goes back and he calls all his friends as if they should enjoy like he does. But whether they do or not is not recorded for us. He tells them, hey guys, rejoice with me. I found my lost sheep. And they might say, you know, and no shepherd is like that. But there is one, only one, who will love us like that. And then Jesus summarized the lost sheep parable by saying, likewise, I tell you, there is more joy in heaven over one sinner that repents than 99 that need no repentance. Then the parable of the lost coin. There was a woman. A woman. Can a woman typify God? Yes. A woman has 10 silver coins and she loses one. What would she do? All right? She would light a lamp. She must be a Singaporean. She would light a lamp, take a broom, and start to sweep the entire house until she finds the lost coin. And when she finds the lost coin, how many of you will find the lost coin? You call your neighbor, hey, 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 found it! God is telling us the joy the Savior has, the joy the Holy Spirit has, and the joy the Father has in this story. Who rejoices over a lost silver coin? God does. It's all about God's joy, my friend, regardless of the murmuring of the Pharisees. And it says there's joy in the presence of angels. By the way, we would say that angels rejoice when a sinner is saved. No, it's not. Every place that you see that, it says there's joy in the presence of angels. There's joy in the presence of heaven, in the presence of angels. In other words, angels see someone rejoicing. Who? The finder. Angels see God enjoying himself. See God having joy. And the last story is very famous. You all know it. So I won't go into all the details. Suffice to say, I want to focus on one point. All right? Jesus says, the last parable, and this is about his father. A certain man had two sons. The younger of them came to the father and said, divide me my share of the inheritance. The father gave him his share, and he went to a faraway country, and there he spent his money on careless living. All right? And then the money ran out. And there was a severe famine. Let's follow the story. When he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Recently, a few years ago, there was a severe famine all over the world of economic downturn. And people began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swine. I've said before, for a Jewish audience to hear that, to feed swine. Whoa, that is the feast. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pot that the swine ate. Yes. And by the way, it is a testimony of the world. And no one gave him anything. No one gave him anything. Let me tell you something about the world. Have you noticed? Even if you watch World Cup, you must pay. All right? In the world, the philosophy of the world is that there's nothing free. Even they say that this free gift, limited time only. All right, there's something else they want to a cost payment. This world is running on the philosophy, no one gives you anything. No one gives you anything. Heaven, how will he not with him freely give us all things? It's only true of God. And free does not mean cheap. Because free actually means it's so expensive, it is priceless. to charge is to lower the gift. Only God gives free gifts. Okay, now watch this. Please go and call your attention. No one gave him anything, verse 17. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Okay, he's rehearsing his speech. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Smart guy, yeah? Hired, go back again. Hired servants, because hired servants have bread enough and to spare. So his heart was not for his father, you understand? It's for to earn his bread. Okay, next verse. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran. Isn't it amazing? Jesus shared his story because the sinners drew near and the Pharisees were complaining. Jesus said, the father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on the boy's neck and kissed him. If I was there, or you were there, we must say, Sir, excuse me, why are you doing that to him? Don't you know he has disgraced you? Don't you think the old man knew that he has disgraced him? So why did he kiss him? Sir, he's been among pigs and all kinds of bacteria and virus and germs and all that. I think he was bathed first and you can kiss him later. No. The father kisses us while stealing our rights. We think that God loves us because we kept right. No, this is son, by the way. So the story can refer to any Christian who feels you are far away. Because you are son of the Father, he's never forgotten you. You see, the thing is that when you left God, God never left you. So you need to know that God loves you while you're still in your rights, while you're still in your bad habits, while you're still drinking, while you're still messing, while you're still dirty. God loves you, and God is kissing you while you're still in your rights. But people say, how can that be? We are looking at men, whether the man is worthy, whether the man has been washed, has been bathed. No. You must look at the Father, look at God, look at his heart. It's full of love. He enjoys loving. And who is to stop his joy? Now, I know you're concerned, Pastor Prince, you preach like that, and people, you know, you're saying that God will love them while they're in their porno. God will love them while they're committing adultery. You're saying, no, I'm just pointing their eyes. I already said just now, it's not the loveliness of the sinner or the beauty of the believer. Nothing to do with us. It's God's heart. Want to see that love. All right? Can the boy ever say, I still want to keep some pig food? The reason why people are eating thick food is because they don't see the Father's heart. Many men who are from a pornography stems from a feeling of rejection, incompleteness. Rejection stems from the way they were brought up. Alright? Many times they feel rejected, they don't feel complete. And the manner of release, when they feel sense of love, they're looking, is when there's a sexual release. They don't realize they're not looking for sex, they're looking for intimacy, which only God's love can give. Even some women are looking for intimacy, so they are giving their body for sex. They're actually crying out for intimacy. And sex is a poor substitute for intimacy. And intimacy comes when you see what I'm telling you right now. The father kissed the boy while he was still in his bed. And kept on kissing. And kept on receive the father's love. Because it's a mothering love. Can you feel it? It's like mother's love. It's a mothering father. 1 Timothy 1, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God. Blessed is the word happy. It is not eulogia. You know the word blessed used for eulogia? Alright, another word actually we use for blessed is not eulogia, it's makarios. Makarios is not eulogia. Eulogia is blessing. Makarios is happy. Look at this. The glorious gospel of the happy God. You know God is happy? God is happy to supply He didn't say, wow, you spend so much money, huh? No, no. He supplies them all. He supplies them all. Supplies. You know why? Again, he said, but cannot be all great. Your eye is back on the boy again. Whether he deserves it or doesn't deserve it. Your eye must go into God's heart. He loves giving. Love is divine. All right? Go back to Luke 15. Look, act of grace. The Father saw him. One. He had compassion. Two. He ran. Three. Got on the boy's neck. Four. And kissed him. Five. Perfect manifestation of grace. And then the son says, Father, Nicholas, I sing in heaven in your sight no longer will you call your son. The father said to his servants, bring out the best robe. One. Put it on him. And put a ring on his hand. Two. And sandals on his feet. Three. Bring the fattened calf here and kill it. Four. Let us eat. Mary. Five. So he was sandwiched by love. By grace. Grace paid it off. Look at, by the way, his rehearsed speech, where is it? Make me one of your highest servants. Where is it? Where is the boy? Make me one of your highest servants. How to say, make me earn my bread when someone is kissing you like this? Always remember this. Grace is not theoretical. How do you say, make me one of your highest servants? Let me earn my kiss. Let me earn my bread. How do you do that when your father is kissing you, hugging you, holding you? You feel like saying that word is out of sin, and you're right. Ooh. Not about you, man, but I wish myself happy. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What has the boy got to do with the best rope, the ring, the sandals, the fattened calf, and the feast of joy? What has the boy got to do with? Nothing. What has the father got to do with all this? His joy to supply everything. God's joy to supply everything. Okay, look up here. I'm close to this. Some people think, well, Pastor Fraser, if you preach too much on grace, then people have license to sin. Who died and make you a policeman? You belong to the Pharisee that loves to complain when you see grace being preached. Let me tell you this. Which one will make you confess your sins more? Which one will make you not afraid to look at your sins? Grace or law? I'm giving you a last question. Watch this, watch this. Let's say there was a set of businessmen, all right? This businessman fell into hard time, and now he owes a lot of money to the bank. Okay, he has a ledger, all right, of debt that he owes. He cannot open up his book, or right, to see all his liabilities and his debt. He cannot, because he knows it's in the figures of five figures. And then someone hears this story, it's not five figures. A few weeks later, they say six figures. Oh, my goodness. And the next day, someone else came, it's nearly a million now. So, finally, a few months passed, he does not know how many years. He cannot open the book. How many understand that? Is there a debt in your life? You cannot even look at it. You watch it. He cannot even look at it. Why? Because he knows it's not fixed. He cannot look at it. Then, a very wealthy friend heard about his predicament. And the wealthy friend paid off all the debts in the bank itself. They came over to him and said, here, here's $10 million US dollars for you. After the debt is paid, the friend gave him $10 million. Now watch this. Now he looked at his debt ledger, a book on his debt, on his table. Do you think that he's afraid not to go open it to find out how much his friend paid? No, he opens it gladly to see how much his friend paid. And my goodness, he paid 20 million. I didn't know I owed 20 million. Now, with the discovery of his debt, it's a greater discovery of how great his friend's love is. It's one thing to open up your debt book knowing you still owe. No one has paid. It's another thing to know that it's paid. Now you can look at it. And the more you look at it, the more you see the grace that paid it all. I'm so glad I'm in this job, preaching the good news of the happy God. Aren't you? Aren't you? Give Jesus a praise. Hallelujah. Amen. All across this place, the greatest supply is salvation, being transferred from eternal darkness to eternal light, the kingdom of His Son, Jesus Christ. If you know you are here, you want forgiveness of sins, my friend, I proclaim to you that through Jesus Christ, it's preached to you the forgiveness of sin. Whoever believes in Jesus receives forgiveness of sin. Wherever you are right now, the moment you put the trust in a good God who gave His Son, that His Son might bear all your liabilities, all your sin debt, that's the time you begin to experience grace. If you want this grace, you want this forgiveness, you want Jesus to be your Savior, Lord, pray this prayer right now. Wherever you are watching me right now, pray this prayer. Okay? Say, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your great heart of love. You loved me before I knew you. You love me now, and you can never stop loving me. You love me perfectly, and your perfect love cast out every fear from my heart. I thank you that you gave your Son, Jesus Christ, gave Him up for me, and He died for my sins at the cross. The Lamb of God substituted in my place, bearing away my sins and all my judgment far, far away. Thank you, Father. You raised Jesus from the dead. He's alive. As He is, so am I in this world. Jesus Christ is my Savior and my Lord. And I thank you, Father. My sins are forgiven, and I'm under your grace. And your supply is all over me. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for tuning into our broadcast. You have watched highlights of a sermon by Joseph Prince. To order an audio CD of the full sermon, which is approximately 60 minutes long, call the toll-free number at 1-877-901-4300 or log on to
josephprince.org
now.
Yeah, that was Joseph Prince right here. You know, he was giving a good sermon. I hope y'all learned something today by Joseph Prince, you know, the meaning of, you know, just giving yourself to Jesus Christ. It's not that hard. All you have to do is let everything go. I know there's hard times right now. There's a lot of people going through a lot of things, but the best way for you to let go of everything, you got to let God handle your life, handle your situation. Don't let other people handle your situation for you, because if you think that's going to be a better way for you, trust me, it's not a better way for you. The only way for you is to give yourself up to Jesus Christ. And you know we're in the last days right now. You know, Jesus is coming. He is coming. There's signs out there that the Lord is coming. So, you know, it's not coming from me. This is in the Bible. Things are happening as we speak right now. You know, for the people that's in the music industry, you know, actors, you know, young folks, you know what I mean? I'm no older than anybody. You know, I'm only 26 years old. But, you know, at the same time, you know, God is actually talking to me and personally, you know what I mean? He changed my life, and I've seen things in a total different way. So I'm saying I have a gospel album that's dropping next year. I'm starting on it, you know, and there's a lot of visions I'm seeing right now. There's a lot of things, you know, I'm you know, prosperity, you know, blessings, you know, knowing that you're giving your tithes and stuff like that, you know, to let him know that, letting God know that you love Him and you appreciate Him, He'll give back. But if you don't show that love to the Lord and you ignore Him, He will ignore you. So you must give your life to the Lord, you know, because that's what life is about. You understand? So we're going to see if we can go to another sermon. Hold on. So we're going to continue. You know, we don't got no songs today, but we're going to have some songs tomorrow. You know, I've been having problems with the computer. And you know, basically we're trying to get things together for the radio station. But next year, by next year, we're going to have a good blessing, a great blessing by the Lord. And we're going to continue doing what we have to do and fight enough. And, you know, this is Watchman Radio. Continue listening. Yeah.
So I'm gonna put on the.
Go and
tape this show just so I could take what you're talking about and preach about.
All right, all right.
What a blessing, Jamal. Yeah. Talk to us a little bit about technology in ministry. How can it be a positive, have a positive impact? How can it positively affect ministry technology?
This broadcast is a reflection of that. Just last week I preached in the Georgia Dome to some 25,000 people, young people, 18 to 45. And they were packed to the rafters, same place where the Atlanta Falcons play. But this medium called TBN, tonight I'll be in 10 million homes. And so it's not an issue of apples and oranges, it's an issue of an orange or an orange orchid. And so technology gets you into places. My church only hosts 2,500 people. I see 3,000 people. I see three different services on Sunday morning. But I see 6,000 people per service on the Internet. Because this is the first time the recession has taken place in America, and I need pastors to hear me, overseers to hear me, bishops to hear me who are frustrated. This is the first time in American history where there's been a crisis that didn't cause the church to grow. Every other time that America has gone through a crisis, we've had explosive evangelical work. But this is a time where people aren't coming. And part of the reason is because the church sold a false bill of goods. We said favor was if you get a new house. A favor is if you get a new car. Favor is your designer clothes. Now, here's the problem, Clifton. What happens when the saints get their house foreclosed? When the saints get their car repossessed? When I'm wearing the same church clothes three Sundays out of a month, do I still have favor? See, the favor of God has nothing to do with anything tangible. The favor of God says even when I'm broke, I'm still eating every day. The favor of God is that even when I don't have a support mechanism, my children are all right. So it's important that the minister, the average person, average young person, 18 to 45, spend 600 minutes a week on Facebook. There needs to be an evangelical outreach on Facebook, on Twitter, on MySpace, on everything on the Internet. Otherwise, you have to understand the most visited websites on the planet are porn websites. And so there's got to be something. There's got to be praise websites to say that when I'm feeling low, when I'm feeling down, let me just go log on www.praise and somebody just start shouting so I can just give God the glory all by myself. So technology has got to be the instrument that's used for ministry.
Yeah. Well, I could just talk to you for the entire 2 hours.
You can't let all the other gifts come back another week.
I'm joking. I'm coming back to preach. But that's what I was going to tell the audience at home. We're not getting rid of Jamal Harrison Bryant quite yet.
Thank you.
Right near the end of the broadcast, he's going to come back and he's going to preach the word for us. Is that all right with you?
Thank you. In the meantime, thank you for being a blessing and talking with me. Let's use the technology.
Yes.
Every person who's watching tonight, I want you to send an email to every person in your address book. Text every person you know. I don't care if it's the middle of the night, early in the morning. Let them know a breakthrough is getting ready to happen. Theology is meeting technology on TBN. And let's shut the entire internet down through the body of Christ.
Praise the Lord.
Absolutely.
That's so powerful. Verse 35 for Romans 8 says, who shall separate us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Because he went through all this. As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. In all the things, the tribulations and the distresses and the persecution and the famine and the nakedness and the peril and the sword. He says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. But the question is how? What must we do to have such a life that is strong unmoved. Well, the Lord Jesus gave us the answer, gave us the key in Matthew 7. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Look at verse 24 through 27. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. We're going to all have, everybody's going to have trials. Oh, God, did I have my share? All of us are going to have trouble. All of us are going to have, every one of us is going to have persecution and a whole lot more. But what must you do to survive them? That's the question. What must you do to stand strong and not be knocked out? That's the question. The Lord said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not. Why? It was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth the sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon that house. But it fell. Why? Because it was built upon the sand. And great was the fall of it. It came to pass when Jesus had ended his saying, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Now, first the saints, in Luke chapter 6, verse 47 through 49, it said, the man who builds upon the rock has to dig deep. You know, digging deep into a rock is hard work. And the Lord was giving us a clear idea here. This won't be easy. To build your life upon the rock is no easy work. It's no easy task. Look what it says in Luke. And, you know, and that's why people give up. They say, well, this is too hard for me. Okay, it's hard, but it's for your survival. You really have a choice. You do have a choice. Or you work hard at it, or you just give up and walk away. For the storm will come. The problems. Maybe you're not going through a storm. Oh, you will. Because the Bible says, when you go through the waters, when you go through the fire, I'll be there. It didn't say it. It says when. If you have not gone through trials, you haven't lived yet. Everybody who's alive has gone and will go through trials. That's just a part of life. We cannot escape trials. We cannot escape trouble. It's a part of life. But what do you do to survive them? That's the question. The big question. And some family do not survive them. Luke 6, verse 47 says this. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged it deep. This is the key. Digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. Now think about digging into a rock. That's tough. Digging into a rock is no easy job. Because you've got to get your heart established. And getting your heart established, that's not easy. That's tough. Plus the thing, I've been a Christian since 1972, February 14th, 7:50 in the morning, and I say, I never thought I'd go through the trials I've gone through the last few years of my life. I've been hit by the news media. I've been hit and investigated by the government. I've been betrayed by friends. On and on, and I can go on talking about these negative things, which really I don't have to, and I don't want to. But I can tell you, I've gone through it. But I'm still here. I'm still preaching the gospel. I'm still ministering. You say, why? I'm telling you why. you have to dig your life deep into the law. Not sand, because sand will just wash away. Dig deep into the rock, and that's hard work. Today, I'm going to show you what the Bible has to say about it.
When we return, Pastor Benny will give us 7 keys to staying strong. Right after this. Behold the King, timeless crusade favorite, live from Israel. This features the unmistakably fresh and anointed sound of the Benny Hinn voices. Experience this collection of songs and be ushered into his presence as you take in the sights and sounds of the Holy Land. This includes beautiful music videos as well as a CD for your personal listening device. You'll hear songs like Classics can be yours for a gift of only $30. Call today, and with your gift, you'll be planting a seed into this ministry to help spread the gospel around the world. Now, here's Pastor Benny for the second half of today's message.
The Bible says in Psalm 112, "He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting the Lord." The story of Jairus in the Bible is quite an example. Because Jairus came to the Lord in Mark 5. It says in verse 21, "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship onto the other side, much people gathered to him, and he was nigh to the sea. And behold, there comes one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come lay your hand on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." Now this man comes along, and he makes a statement of faith, and he's strong. At that point, everything is fine. Jesus is there. He can hold of him. And he said, "Come to my home and pray for my girl, and I know you'll heal her, and I know she'll live." Now, that's faith. That's strong. But later on, in verse 35, the negative comes. It says, while he yet spake, now the Lord was speaking to the woman with the issue of blood who had been healed also. While the Lord spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" The Lord had just spoken to the woman with the issue of blood and had spoken, "Thy faith has made thee whole, go in peace. Behold of thy plague." And while Jesus is speaking healing to this woman, a group of people show up from the house of Jairus and say, "Don't trouble the master. Your daughter is dead." Now this man goes from faith to fear. He goes from the mountain to the valley in a minute. Why? Well, that's just life. Happens to all of us. Now, did Jairus change his confession? He had just said earlier, "She'll live. She'll be healed." Verse 23. He said, "Come lay your hands on her. She'll be healed and live." In verse 35, "She's dead." So he goes from his girl will live. So now they say, "Don't bother the Lord. She's gone. She's dead." Now, first to say, I have faced moments like that, and I'm sure you have too. But what do you do? What do you do when this thing hits you like that? And it can hit out of nowhere. You're not even prepared for it. So this is the crucial point, and this is why so many fail. Why so many miss God's blessings? Because circumstances will arise, the devil will come and try to prove to you there's no way out. You know, I love singing that song.
God would make our way. Well, that seems to be the way, you know, the song. In fact, Cheryl, why don't you play it for us here? And I love the part, he works in ways we cannot see. God will do things for you at times you're not even aware of it. He works in ways we cannot see. And he'll make a way for you and for me. And she's playing. He'll be your guide. He'll take you to a side, to the right. Now, I'm telling you today it's going to be all right because I know the God we serve. But I'm also sharing with you that Psalm 112, verse 7 says, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Okay. The Lord said, fear not. You know how many times it says, fear not in the Bible? 365 times. That's one for every day. Now, here's what you must do. Write this down. These are seven promises I'm going to give you. There's seven things you've got to do and be established in to stay strong when
Number one.
Know you are redeemed. Just write it down because I'm not going to have a whole lot of time to read all this, so just write it down. And the scriptures are for you on the screen. Know you're redeemed. That's number one. Know you are redeemed. And know that Satan cannot touch you. He cannot touch you. Troubles will touch you. Trials will touch you. Problems will touch you. Satan cannot touch you. That's Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. And Romans 8:31 that says, if God be for us, who can be against us? But you got to know you're redeemed. That's Hebrews 9:12. Number two, know you are a new creation. Know that your past is gone and dead. Because the enemy will use your past against you. You've got to come to the place. Like Captain Kuma came one day, well, she said it never happened. Because we're free from our past. The past will torment you. The past will not allow you to build and dig deep in the rock. You got to know you're a new creation. You've got to know your past is dead. Your past is dead. The sins you committed are forgotten. In Micah, we read this awesome promise. Who's a God like you, Lord? You forgive the transgression of your people. And you will subdue our iniquities. And you'll cast all our sins into the depth of the sea. Your past is dead. You gotta know that. Otherwise, you won't be able to establish yourself. Number three. And by the way, that's 1 Corinthians 5:17. Number three, know you are his righteousness. Know you are his righteousness. That's 1 Corinthians 5:21 and Romans 19:22. The scriptures are there for you on the screen. You can look them up after I'm done. But you are his righteousness. We sin every day. We sin every day, not because we plan on it, but because we're a human being. We're weak. We're fragile. We're flawed. But you got to know something. Because you belong to the Lord, because you're redeemed, because you're a new creation, you're also forgiven. You're also sanctified and cleansed. The blood has washed away your sin. If we confess our sin, it says he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all our righteousness in 1 John. You're clean. You are his righteousness. You have to believe that. Otherwise, you cannot build upon the rock. Number four, know you are his temple. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, has chosen your body to be his temple. In spite of the fact we look at ourselves in a negative way and say, oh my goodness, am I that clean for God? He knows you better than you know you. He has accepted you. Why should you not accept the fact that you're his temple? That's right. God is for you. When you know you're his temple, then you know that God is for you. In other words, none can harm you. God is with you. None can defeat you. And God is in you. None can have you. I want to repeat that. When you believe you're his temple, then you know God is for you. If God is for you, nobody can harm you. You'll also know God is with you. If God is with you, nobody can defeat you. But God is also in you. None can have you. You belong to him. Number five. Let me just give you one more quick thing here. By the way, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20.
John 14.
Israel had God for them and God with them. But you have him in you also. Think about Israel. Israel had God for them and God with them. They didn't have God in them. Today we have God for us, with us, and in us. That's something special. So you are his treasure. You are his chosen vessel. Hallelujah. Number five. Know the power of his name is yours to use. All these that I'm giving are things I've experienced. I have had to experience to dig into the rock. So number five, you got to know that the power of his name belongs to you. It's yours to you. John 14, verse 13 and 14, and John 16, verse 23. How can you build a life secure if you cannot go to the Lord and say in Jesus' name and know he heard you? Jesus said his name is ours to use. We have to believe that. Number six, know that God's promises are yea and amen. You cannot build a solid life if you doubt the promise of God. Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie. You got to believe his promises. And Psalm 89:34. In fact, I want to read this for you. This is the thing that has saved me. Because there's nowhere else to go but to the promises. Psalm 89, verse 34, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that's gone out of my mouth. How often there's nothing to lean on? Your feelings cannot be trusted. What people tell you, they'll change on you. Things all around you can fall apart. Only one place to go to, the promises. God, you got to know his promises again, amen. And finally, number seven, know that your faith overcomes the world. 1 John 5:4. When you step out in faith, God will give you victory. That is definite. I've just given you the seven keys that will help you build a solid life. How I pray, we have an hour sometimes. But I gave it to you. I'll rerun this program if you want me to, so you can see it again, or just get a copy of it. And we'll gladly send it to you. I'm having a communion service this New Year's Eve in Israel. I want you to be a part of it. I want to send you an olive cup, communion cup, and the communion itself. And a booklet with the promises of healing from every book of the Bible to you, so you can be a part of a great communion service New Year's Eve this year, as I come to you live from Israel. All you have to do is write me, send a prayer request so I can take it with me to Israel and pray over it for you and leave it there at the wedding wall. Try to send, if you can, $20 to help me cover the cost of the communion cup and the book, the booklet. The communion comes with it. Make sure to do that. If you cannot send the 20, send as much as you can, as close to it as possible, to help me with the cost. But let's be a part of this great communion service coming to you from Israel. And 12 Christmas cards I want to send you. Make sure to call for Easter Day. I was just in Israel a few days ago for our tour, and the group that's called the Benihin Voices, about 17 to 18 young people, sang. They sang the God of Elijah on the same spot where fire fell from heaven in the days of Elijah. These are all professional singers, but we pay them all. And many of them came actually from groups that they used to sing in, and professionals. And they are, and I'm telling you, they did songs on location from Jerusalem, like the Mount of Olives, you should behold. They did a healing from the Sea of Galilee on a boat with the healing the scenes behind them where the Lord himself healed the sick. Because he heard the Lord healed the sick. And so much more. There are songs in the power of God was so strong they would at times stop and cry because it was just too powerful. I showed up when they were singing I need it from the Mount of Olives, and you could feel the power of God and the presence of God so strong. This is the most anointed gift you have ever done.
Well, that was Pastor Benny, and I hope y'all enjoyed the program. We'll try and get back tomorrow and with the next session tomorrow. excuse me, for the Watchman Radio Station. I am Joseph the Dreamer. Continue listening. We're gonna have more art this week, 3 p.m. You know, everybody stay prayed for me. I'm gonna close the radio station with a prayer. Please, God, thank you for everything, for everybody that's listening and listening to the program, for Joseph Prince and Benny Hinn for giving the message of the Lord, and for the young people that's listening right now, the youth, please stay strong, Lord. Help us. Help us to be strong in the name of Jesus. I pray to you. Amen. Okay, everybody, continue listening tomorrow. We're going to be on all this week, you know. Even on Thanksgiving, I'll do my best to be on Thanksgiving, most definitely. If not, well, we'll be on the next following day. So, God bless everybody.